while it may not have been center court at Wimbledon, commentator John Ridley felt the rush of adrenaline, the thrill of competition at his tournament of choice, the World Series of Poker.
Forget about baseball with its boys of summer who are happy to take themselves out to the ballpark for a cool $250 million in their pockets. For my money, America's national pastime is the sacred game of poker. I mean, what other sport, and yes, I will call it a sport, so closely mirrors our national psyche? Only competitors with enough money to buy in can even play the game, and victory goes not necessarily to the most skilled player, but to the luckiest one or the one who can bluff the best. And what gives poker the flag wave and bragging rights over every other sport is that you're not only allowed, but encouraged to consume alcohol during play. I'd like to see Tiger Woods win a championship after slamming a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon. So recently, I decided to display my love of the game by competing in the World Series of Poker, the largest poker tourney in existence. Unfortunately, I fell in love with poker exactly 1 month prior to the World Series event and had never actively played the game before then. Fortunately, poker, being the all-American sport that it is, doesn't require the competitor to be some genetically evolved superhuman. The only requirement is a basic understanding of what's going on and the will to win. Kind of like a presidential election, except without having to get the Supreme Court into things. So after nearly 6 intensive hours of warm-up play spread out over 3 weekends, and after reading most of the non-boring parts of a poker strategy book, I loaded up the car and headed east from Los Angeles to Binion's Horseshoe Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. I will say this about the World Series of Poker. If you ever plan to compete, don't bring any health food and don't bring your American Express card. Don't bring your Visa card either, or traveler's checks or any form of currency other than greenbacks. The people who run the show are only interested in cash and nothing but. And once you have your cash, you have to get your tournament card, which is different than a player's card, which you have to get your buy-in chips, which are not the same as table chips. And when you buy the buy-in chips, you don't actually get the chips. You actually just get a receipt for the chips to show the dealer at the table at the start of play, who is not actually the dealer who will be dealing the cards when play starts. You see, you're tired already, and you haven't even gotten your first hand yet. But once I had my card and my chips and my receipt, I was seated at a table staring down 8 of the slickest-looking card gladiators I'd ever seen in my 3-week poker career. But confidence high, I was ready to wade into that green felt arena and do battle, my mantra being the basics of poker Kenny Rogers sang to me years ago. I made history that day. Out of some 500 competitors, I was the very first eliminated from the tournament, taking less than 2 hours to lose my total buy-in of 5 grand. 2 hours, including a half-hour break. The cards weren't kind to me, and Lady Luck pretty much treated me like all the girls I used to know in high school. I did win 2 hands, one by expert play and one because I think everybody else at the table felt sorry for me and let me take the pot. Sure, I didn't end up in the money, but what I did walk away with was the sweet feeling of having answered the call to glory that is shared by the proud few. The feeling that Pete Sampras must have when he walks onto the courts of Wimbledon, or Brett Favre when he strides the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. The same feeling, except, you know, without being a champion or having the undying love of millions. But other than that...
The comments of John Ridley, author of Love is a Racket and Everybody Smokes in Hell.